Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word given to us, our rule, our framework for living, the word which reveals the Lord Jesus. Lord, would you please send the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us the meaning of your word. Take us deeper in our faith and our service to you. Amen. Recently, I was looking at a couple of Facebook pages from two men I knew who died within the last year. The last things they posted showed something about both of them. One post was about exciting new trends in Christian ministry and evangelism. Very interesting stuff. The other was about frustration over politics in Canada with some very unwise and caustic words thrown in. My conclusion is that one finished well, the other not so well. Now, both men finished the race in Christ. Both had a living faith in Christ, and they are with him in paradise. But still, one finished publicly well, and the other not so well. One finished as a strong witness to his family, to non-believers. He witnessed to Christ and the ministry of the church. The other, I keep hoping that his family might take the page down. It's a bit embarrassing. Do you ever think about finishing well? Finishing well. Is that important to you? And should it be important? This is the end of our summer series on King David, Life of a King. We've seen the ups and downs of his life. David, the anointed king of Israel, the shepherd, the warrior, the poet, the singer, the musician, God's anointed with obvious feet of clay. Did he finish well? Well, let's find out. Let's use his final charge to his son, the new king Solomon. And for this, we go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. If you'd open your Bible to that passage, that would help you follow along as we look at David's words to his son. Notice one thing right away. David didn't shrink from his own death. It says here, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. He knew he was going to die. He says in verse number 2, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Too often we see the opposite, even from Christians. We don't want to talk about death. When it does happen, we want to sanitize it. We don't want to deal with grief. We want to have closure within months or maybe a year. That's something that our good friend Reverend Rick Berg says is not a good goal. Do we ever have closure when we've known and loved someone for decades? Is that going to be closed up in a neat little box and put on the shelf after a few months or a year? Verse 1 shows us that David grieved well. He faced the end of his life. The end was near. He felt it in his bones. He was an old man. He says in verse 2, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. That's a realistic assessment of human life and a mature way for Christians to think. Remember the words we say in our service on Ash Wednesday. Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's a healthy view of what it means to be human. We will go the way of all the earth. But how will our time on earth end? Does it matter? Does it matter how we finish? I want to suggest to you that it does matter. As followers of Jesus, it matters how we finish. And it's much better to finish well. Not finishing well doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Finishing well, though, is very important to us. Not just for us, but for our witness to Christ. That's the really important thing. I'd like to begin by saying two things that David says to Solomon. Then we'll connect that with how we finish in our own lives. The first thing David said is to be strong. When you hear the phrase be strong, you might think we've turned the clock back to the bad old days when boys don't cry, men don't cry, you don't show your emotions, you'd be a man, some kind of macho Superman who's a strong stoic. That's not at all what David means. Now, he does say to Solomon, Solomon, act like a man. We need to know what that means for David. Now think of David. He was a complete man. He was a warrior. He was a strong man. He also had close male friends. He loved Jonathan as a friend, a dear friend. He wrote songs. He wrote poetry. He had an active prayer life. He was a complete man, according to the Bible's understanding of what it means to be a man. His words to Solomon actually take us back into an important point in Israel's history. Moses has just died. Israel is ready to go and take over the promised land. They have a new young leader. His name is Joshua. And God says this to Joshua: "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people." That's a big job, isn't it? Leading the people into the promised land after their hero Moses has died. Notice that just before God tells Joshua to be strong, God says this: "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." The part about being strong is in Joshua 1:6. The part before that, Joshua 1:5. "I'll never leave you. I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses." So Joshua's strength wasn't supposed to come from inside himself. God didn't tell Joshua to be a man based on his own strength, to be some kind of a spiritual macho leader. God's promise to deliver his people was ironclad. In effect, God's saying to Joshua, "Find your strength, but find your strength in my promise. Find your strength as you trust me and trust that I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So when God says that, we can trust him. We can trust him with our lives, and for us, we can trust him with our death too. We can trust him with how we finish. Even in death, the Lord doesn't forsake his people. Think of something else David wrote, Psalm 23, where he says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think of Jesus' words to the thief on the cross, the man who just turned to him. He said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Trust my promise to you. You will be with me because you've turned to me as your Lord and your Savior." David's words to Solomon are a look back to the heroes of the faith, men like Moses and Joshua. More importantly, David's words were a reminder to look back to the promises of God, to always trust in that. Be strong in the Lord. Act like a man in the Lord. Being a strong man or a woman of faith means being someone who knows that their strength comes from being in a saving relationship with the Lord. That's where it comes from. We saw this last week in David's song in 2 Samuel 22. Solomon learned this lesson really well. He had his moments when he didn't always put it into practice, but he learned it well. Solomon wrote a large part of the book of Proverbs, and listen to how David's words shaped him. Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That's not a macho speech about being a man. That's a proverb about finding a strength that's more important than physical strength. This is the strength of the Lord. This is wisdom and understanding. Wisdom gotten from approaching God in humility. Understanding received by growing in your knowledge of who God is, knowing his promises. There's the first piece of fatherly, kingly advice. Be strong, but be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. You finish well by making sure your strength comes from your faith in the Lord. The second piece of advice is walk in obedience. Listen to David talking to Solomon in 1 Kings 2, verse 3. "Walk in obedience to him. Keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses." The other way to finish well is to stay rooted in God's story. For David and Solomon, God's story meant the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. That was the law of Moses, and it guided and taught the people of Israel. When you hear David say to obey decrees, commands, laws, and regulations, I wonder how you react. Does it sound a bit dull and a bit dry, maybe lifeless? And do you want your life in Christ to be driven by rules and regulations? I hope not. I hope you see your life in Christ flavored by grace and driven by God's delight in you. I hope your good works are a response to God's grace, not a dry duty that you have to perform. The laws and regulations David talked about are God's commands to follow, given by God to His people. The commands the people of Israel followed, we know, have been fulfilled in Christ. So we don't have to follow them today. Jesus has fulfilled them. He declared all foods clean, and He Himself provided the perfect sacrifice when He shed His blood on the cross. We do have a law today that we follow. It's the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai. We call them the Ten Commandments. These are the moral laws. Moral laws. They have nothing to do with animal sacrifice or clean and unclean foods or how we worship. This law is still in effect for us. This is the moral law. We're called to follow these commandments, as David was. That's the law. We also have something called the gospel. The gospel is what God has done for you in Christ. Sometimes we confuse the law and the gospel. And when we do that, a very bad thing happens. We end up in a dry and lifeless place where we follow the law in order to gain God's favor. And we think, if I just follow these laws a bit better, I'll be more prosperous, more favored, and more blessed by God. There are some preachers who talk about this. They're called prosperity preachers, and it's called the prosperity gospel. You've probably heard about it. It goes like this. If you follow these rules and these regulations, God will bless you. God has to bless you because you're keeping up your end of the bargain here. That's not the gospel. You always know it's not the gospel because when things are going bad, as they always do in your life, what do the prosperity preachers say? Well, they say, well, you obviously don't have enough faith, or you haven't been following all the laws. That's why you're not prospering. The gospel declares that God has given you His favor by bringing you to new birth. It's the gift of His grace. The law, the Ten Commandments, that's your response to God's gift of grace. The Ten Commandments aren't meant to be crushing rules or a dry duty. It's meant to be a joy because you know you've been brought into a living relationship with God. You want to follow His laws. You want to do the things that please Him as your offer of sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Keep in mind that we have many more details than David and Solomon did, but they had enough details to be saved and to enjoy a full and rich relationship with the Lord. They weren't second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. God's story of grace and redemption is found in the first five books of the Old Testament, too. It's just hidden. It's hidden in animal sacrifices, in the food laws, in the religious ritual, and in the prophecies about the coming Messiah. There are shadows in the Old Testament. These shadows are fully revealed in the light of Christ in the New Testament. But it's all there in the Old. God saved David and Solomon by grace. David and Solomon walked by the same faith that you walk by. The same covenant God made with Abraham covered them as it covers you. They were justified by faith in Christ. If you're not sure about this, listen to what St. Paul says about Moses and the people of Israel and David and Solomon in 1 Corinthians. He says, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. God's grace in Christ is in the law of Moses. God's grace in Christ was with David and Solomon, not fully revealed as it has been to us, but it's there. He's there. Finishing well means walking obediently with God. You do that by living inside the framework he's given. And that means the law as we have it, for us, the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Paul's words to his younger friend Timothy might help you. 2 Timothy 3 talks about the place and power of God's word in the life of a disciple. Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Remember that Paul's definition of scripture here is the Old Testament. The new hadn't been put together yet. So God's word in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's our guide, our rule for living. This is God's story revealed for us and to us. It teaches us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. It trains us in right living with Christ. Why does it do that? Well, so that we'll be well fed and we'll be well equipped and able to do the good works that God has given us to do in the world as a witness to Him and His power and His plan in creation. Let's pause a moment and join in a song of praise, and then we'll come back to apply this scripture in our daily lives.
Falling down like rain, love that I can't explain. Peace that stills my soul. Light in the darkest place, life, even in the pain, it feels like coming home. Where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free, amen. Where the Spirit
We're talking about finishing well, rooted in God's word. And finishing well, I'm suggesting, is a really important part of your life in Christ. But don't feel pressure in a negative way. Please hear what I'm saying, that how we finish will impact others around you. How you finish will impact your friends at this church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. A good finish will encourage us, and it'll actually strengthen us for when the time comes when we finish the race. Finishing well impacts those who don't believe, because a good finish is part of your witness to the power of Christ in your life, taking a broken vessel, a poor sinner, and redeeming that person. That's a great witness and a great testimony. One current example of how we as Christian disciples are called to face our own death is the example of medical assistance in dying, or MAID. We live in a city, we live in a country which is choosing medical assistance in dying more and more as an option. So as Christians, that's a question that faces us. How will we face our physical death? More than that, when we know we're going the way of all the earth, and we know that that journey is going to be painful, and we're going to suffer, how do we witness to our faith in Christ in that? You know, friends, it's much easier to witness to your faith in Christ when you're feeling well, when you're healthy, and when life is good and you feel life is worth living. When you're suffering and dying, well, sometimes you think, I think I'd like to escape from this. And I think that's what's driving the modern obsession with medical assistance in dying. It's the desire to escape death. Nobody wants to suffer. Of course not. But we as Christians, of all people, should know that suffering is often God's will for His people, isn't it? Jesus promised us that. You will suffer. You will suffer. How we bear up under our suffering, how we finish, really matters. Hopefully, when that happens to us, we'll face that time like David did. Hopefully, we'll be strengthened by the words of Jesus Himself from the cross. Remember, He says in Luke's Gospel, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. Absolute trust in the goodness of God the Father, who will never leave or forsake His Son or those whom the Son has called. And just a sidebar comment, the words Jesus quotes from the cross come from Psalm 31, verse 5. Guess who wrote the psalm? David. David, the poet, the warrior, the king, inspired by the same Holy Spirit to write words that reflect a deep trust, a lasting trust in the God who never forsakes His people, the God who always delivers us from the enemy, the real enemy, called sin. We finish well when we finish in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength. We have no strength to finish well, but the Lord has strength to give us. It's His strength. And remember the words of David to his son Solomon, where he's quoting Joshua, be strong and courageous. But connected with that are the words of God to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, knowing that I'll never leave you or forsake you. You can trust me. Secondly, we finish well when we keep walking in obedience. Keep the Word of God as the standard and the framework for our beliefs and practice. And let our good works for Christ be driven by our beliefs, by believing that we are God's chosen people. We've been given this awesome gift, not because we deserve it. We actually deserve condemnation, but God has reached down and plucked us out of the storm and brought us into a wide and spacious place. Why, as David says in 2 Samuel 22, because He delights in you. That's why He did it. Go back to this word every day, please, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Please know that finishing well doesn't mean finishing perfectly. It doesn't mean finishing better than someone else or looking with jealousy at how someone else has just finished the race. It means finishing well. Finishing well as a unique follower of Christ Jesus, given spiritual gifts that He's given to you, using those gifts and finishing in His strength, walking in obedience and faithfulness to Him. It means finishing as a broken vessel, redeemed by Jesus on the cross. That process of spiritual maturity in a person's life isn't equal. People grow at different rates. They finish in different ways, but we can all finish well. Some grow like crazy. They bear so much fruit that you can't believe it. Some of us, not as much. But every follower is being sanctified. Every follower is being made holy. Sanctification happens until the moment when you finish the race. And at that moment, you win the prize for which Christ has called you heavenward. So finish well. Stay close to the Lord who delights in you and the one who's called you, as he called David and Solomon. How you finish, that's part of your lifelong witness to the power of Christ in you. The power of Christ bringing you to new birth, binding up your wounds, forgiving your sins, healing the hurts, and using you in good works to bring glory to his name. In the power of the Holy Spirit, finish well. Let's pray. Lord God, we try to capture the gift you've given us. All we can say, Lord, is thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for David's words to Solomon, which come to us from thousands of years ago, telling us to be strong in your strength, Lord, not in our own strength, but in the strength you give. Being strong, knowing that you never leave or forsake your people. Lord, we pray that you would continually remind us to be strong in your promise and to continually walk in obedience, staying within the framework of your word, being taught and formed by the word of Scripture, and all to the glory of your name. Amen.